Hello, welcome again to the Macro and Volatility Podcast, where we discuss the world of investing through the lens of cross-asset and derivative frameworks. My name is Michael Purvis of Tallbach and Capital Advisors. We are a macro research firm for institutional investors. I'm here with my good friend and fellow markets prognosticator, Josh Silva.
Hello, I'm Josh Silva, Passaic Partners, a boutique asset manager designing option-based strategies for institutional and retail advisors for more than a decade. Today is August 16th, 2024.
So Josh, it's been quite a couple of weeks since our last podcast at the end of July. It's really been pretty amazing. Just a few days after that podcast, the VIX erupted, printing as high as 65. 65 is the third highest print on record going back to the VIX's inception in 1990. And here we are today, less than 10 trading days later, and we have a VIX below 15. In fact, this is the fastest fall from a major VIX surge on record. And if you look at a chart of the VIX, you have a nearly symmetrical inverted V. For context, if you look at the VIX spikes on all the VIX spikes on record, the average contraction has been just 2 points following 10 days after a surge of this magnitude. Thus far, we have shed more than 24 points, and these numbers get even more dramatic if you look at them on the intraday charts. Another comment I'm going to make here is that the inverted V in the VIX is a mirror image of the V in the SPX chart. Typically, a major sell-off such as we just have had is accompanied by a relief rally, then a retest or worse of the recent lows. The VIX, in turn, follows those contours and bounces around in a higher range for a while. This makes a lot of intuitive sense to me because the stock market needs time to sort through the fundamental conditions of whatever drove that shock in the first place. The market needs time to figure out whether it's going safe to go back in the water. But Josh, you know, you and I have talked about this type of market structure, dispersion trade, risk to the VIX, and it seems like what we just got was entirely that. Market structure VIX spikes leave a different footprint than a genuine fundamental change to the economy or macro risk landscape. But how are you seeing this?
Well, I thought it was an interesting, it's been an interesting time since our last podcast. I think vol traders, which I should say short vol traders, and were saved by fundamental traders. We saw on the Monday lows, sellers of hedges, basically people who own puts to protect their portfolios, didn't roll those hedges lower. They just took them off. We also saw a decent amount of tech selling at the end of Q2. And we saw people adding to shorts and sort of fundamental long short portfolios. Those shorts were unwound. People went put their long tech positions back on. They used that as an opportunity to buy the dip. It was the perfect storm to save what I would call short vol traders. The short vol trade was, as we discussed, also didn't have that much leverage either. So we didn't have the sort of 2018, 2020 type move because of the lack of leverage in the short vol trade. We also had people adding onto our old friend, the SVXY, the SVXI ETF, the vol ETF, the short vol ETF. We saw inflows into that we hadn't seen since literally 2018. And so all these things helped people recover from that. They looked at it as an opportunity to sell puts. They looked at it as an opportunity to buy the dip. And it all helped out to make this a much more calmer type move, and there was no leverage short vol. I think this the massive deleveraging we saw in Japan, you know, really led us into that sort of 65 VIX. I think you put in one of your pieces that the Japan version went to 70. Once that stopped, and you know, we saw that initial bounce, we then saw what I would call the vol targeting, which is a smaller group of people than it was, let's say, 5 years ago. They were selling equities for a week. They look at the VIX, it's too high. They typically delever. And then we saw that as well. Once that was done, we saw what we've seen this week. We just saw this big, big rally. Now the question is, are they going to have to come in and buy? I do think, though, that the market structure is a little damaged and a full recovery will take longer. I think the speed of the move in the VIX, as a trader, you want to buy that. Like, you sold it at 65, you want to buy it at 15. You just don't get moves like that. As you point out, usually it takes days, weeks. You have a longer period of time. This move is different. And basically, if I was a dispersion trader at this point, I'd look at this as a gift, and I would start unwinding or reducing risk as much as I can, because I think we're going to see more of these types of things going forward as the market does things. I think when you look back in history at, like, let's say 2011, you know, we had a similar big spike in dispersion. Everyone got saved in sort of June and July, but then it came back in September and October with a vengeance. So I just look at it as being a little more cautious and using this as an opportunity to reduce risk. The speed of this, though, is just incredible. We've never seen the speed of a move like this. Lastly, what I want to point out is bonds did their job in this move. They protected your equities. They protected you on your downside, which is exactly what they were supposed to do. Do I think the 10-year gets below 3.5? I think that's going to be really hard. So I don't necessarily think that bonds will provide the type of protection on a second move that they did on the first, because we've already had it. I think you're also seeing this in the put market, where put skew now is significantly bid versus where it was 2-3 months ago, which was near lows, quite frankly. And so I think that's going to be a new thing going forward. Michael, has the VIX spike changed your view on equity markets in any ways in terms of your strategy going into the rest of the year?
Well, Josh, those are great points, and I think very relevant for traders and investors. In terms of my markets strategy, you know, let's just pretend that it's like July and that early August never happened the way it did, which is a normal sleepy August, like so often Augusts are. I don't really think anything's really that different there. So the short answer to your question is no, I'm continuing to be bullish. And I think what we're going to see here is fresh highs in equities. And these fresh highs in equities will be led by big tech, just as we've seen earlier this year and last year as well, and so many times in the past there. This rally really has been about earnings growth. And the S&P 500 has delivered solid earnings growth just in the Q2. The big tech is the most obvious in terms of the quantity of that earnings growth and also the consistency of that earnings growth. Mag 6 earnings are up more than 20% year to date already. And there's no real indications that those earnings, which are so key to the overall S&P 500 index's earnings trajectory, is really going to, you know, be that much different anytime soon here. Look, this is an earnings-driven equity rally, and I think we're going to keep seeing, the equity market being led higher here. I do take your points on some of the market structure damage, and I think that's a fair point. There may be some caution in some of the trades that have helped push the equities higher. I think they'll still get there, but maybe the pace at which they get there won't be quite as dramatic after this, after this first rebound. But I have a final point here on the economic trajectory. And you referenced bonds and bond yields, maybe not playing as important defensive role going forwards here. But let's think about what's happening with the economy for a second. We got a cool jobs number that was the apparent catalyst for the sell-off of the VIX spike. But since then, we've received retail sales data that's been very impressive than expectations, and sort of affirms that the consumer, which was the worry point in so much of the bearish arguments, is actually in really pretty good, strong shape there. We got a strong services ISM print, and the details of that ISM report were really constructive across the board here. We have seen some cooler CPI, but then again, that only reinforces the resilient worker consumer condition. And at the same time, the Fed is working through to an easier stance than it has been in the past. That is another way of saying that's this dual Goldilocks condition that that's my sort of cute phrase for this framework, which is that a pretty healthy worker consumer against an easing Fed is a recipe for risk on. And I think that's going to manifest itself there. But with respect to the bond market, I do think that you're seeing this 50 bips cut that was priced for September and all the chaos over the last couple of weeks, that's fading fast. And I think it should fade fast. I never understood that. And I think what you're going to start seeing is that, across the curve, rates saunter higher here, maybe not quite to where they were in July, but I think they're going to be higher than they have been right now. So maybe the bonds can be back into a position to help play better defense going forwards. Josh, any final thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm being cautious, but I'm still bullish generally, but I think it's going to be a little bit harder than you think. I don't think it's going to be as easy this time going forward. I think tech is where the earnings will be, but we need to see some follow through in the old economy to drive us to that 6,000 SPX. I do think that this rally will be more inclusive and less down to the six or seven names, but who knows? I think the vol market vol is something to reflect on. I think that up move and down move is historic, and I think it's something to reflect on and think about what that means. It's the speed of that move was in my the way down from 65 back to 15 was actually kind of frightening. It just was to me. More important, market liquidity should be reflected on. I keep hammering this. This is one of the bigger issues. I think we saw that on Monday. I continue to believe liquidity is a real issue. The 65 VIX should scare people on how easy a market is to manipulate in pre-market hours and may not reflect reality. And so I think that's something that needs to be thought about and talked about when you think about your portfolio, not to overreact to a number when it's being printed in pre-market. The part I think that is the most interesting, though, is how fundamental won the latest battle. In other words, the people who did their work, who bought puts, who hedged, who looked at inexpensive skew and used it to their advantage, the people who understood where stocks were and fundamentally rebalanced it, won the game, which is nice, not momentum this time. On that note, that is it for today. Again, this is Josh Silva, Passaic Partners. You can find me on Bloomberg, the website www.passaicpartners.com, or the Passaic Partners LinkedIn page.
And this is Michael Purvis at Talbotton Capital Advisors. You can also find me on LinkedIn as well as on Bloomberg. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you soon.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not investment advice. The information, opinions, and views expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended as investment advice. The opinions expressed may not align with Passaic Partners' views or its client strategies. Market forecasts are speculative and should not be the sole basis for investment decisions. Consult your financial and tax advisors before making any investments.